This is the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 19th, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin, publisher of the Breaker.News and host of the Breaker.News podcast. Welcome to edition number 143. The Breaker is your source for news, opinion, and analysis about British Columbia issues, institutions, and influencers. Later, I'll tell you how you can support the Breaker. On this edition, headlines from the Pacific Rim and Pacific Northwest, the Is It Just Me commentary, the Big Deal feature, the Wii scandal gets more interesting. Democracy Watch co-founder Duff Conacher joins me to ponder Justin Trudeau's third major conflict of interest scandal. And I ask what a prominent West Coast Wii regular gets paid for speaking. Plus, I'll award a virtual Nanaimo bar to those making a difference. Now, is it just me? Is it just me, or do we need some summer silly season headlines right now? It's still too heavy with the coronavirus wreaking havoc around the world and its ripple effects. Here in British Columbia, the NDP government revealed a $12.5 billion deficit is forecast this fiscal year. Back in February, remember February? When the budget was tabled, it was going to be balanced with maybe a few hundred million dollars left over as a surplus. Well, tax revenue is down and spending is up, so that means the debt is also rising from $49.2 billion to $61.9 billion. With an election coming in October 2021, don't expect drastic service cuts and tax hikes for the time being. But they are inevitable, maybe in 2022. Meanwhile, David Sidhu was sentenced on July 15th to 90 days in jail after pleading guilty to fraud charges in the United States related to the college admission scandal. Well, actually, he'll spend 86 days maximum because he'll get 4 days credit after his March 2019 arrest in San Jose, California, and his weekend in the Oakland County Jail. All for spending more than $200,000 with consultant Rick Singer's illegal side door scheme to get his sons into two prestigious universities in California. Sidhu starred on the University of British Columbia Thunderbirds 1982 National Championship football team. He donated hundreds of thousands of dollars to UBC, started a football booster foundation. He spent 3 years on the board of governors at UBC, and his name was put on the T-Bird Stadium field and scoreboard, but it was recently taken off. He portrayed himself as Mr. UBC, but he paid a very heavy price so that his sons did not have to go to UBC, which is just a short drive from their $31 million mansion. When Sidhu goes to jail on September 23rd in the United States, don't expect him to serve his whole sentence. He'll get out early for good behavior, but what won't change is that his name is forever tarnished. What do you think? Email Bob at thebreaker.news.
News podcast for Around the Rim. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Rim.
Enoch Yu in the South China Morning Post: China's regulator seizes control of six insurers, trust firms, in a mass nationalization of private firms to enforce financial discipline. The government said it has taken control of Huaxia Life Insurance, Tainan Life Insurance, Tianan Property Insurance, and Yi'an Property Insurance, according to a statement by the China Banking and Regulatory Commission. New Times Trust and New China Trust were also taken over, effective immediately. In 2018, the CBIRC took over control of Anbang Group, a former motor insurer turned global asset buyer, after jailing its former chairman, Wu Xiaowei, for fraud. Anbang bought the Bentall Center Towers in downtown Vancouver and the Retirement Concepts chain of seniors' homes in BC. The government is poised to introduce strategic investors to take over the former Anbang, since renamed Dahlia Insurance. Kyoto in the Japan Times: Japan tourism minister tells young and seniors to avoid go-to-travel campaign. Tourism Minister Kazuyoshi Akaba stirred further confusion over the $13 billion go-to-travel campaign, urging people young and old booked in large group tours not to participate as they might spread the coronavirus or get sick. Akaba's recommendation creates further confusion over who is eligible for the government initiative, which offers subsidies to spur domestic travel. John Weeks in stuff.co.nz. Boy, aged 5, who was told to get hair cut or be expelled, wins case and an apology. Cyrus Tanela, who had extensive family links in New Zealand, faced expulsion from Australian Christian College, Moreton. His family did not want him to cut his hair until a traditional Cook Islands and Niuean rite of passage ceremony could be held when Cyrus turned 7. Cyrus's family accused the school of discrimination, and a tribunal agreed. The story was first reported by the Cook Islands News. That's Around the Rim on this edition of the Breaker.News podcast.
Now it's time on the Breaker.News podcast for Cascadia Calling. We look at news headlines around the Pacific Northwest.
Lewis Kam and Sydney Brownstone in the Seattle Times. COVID-19 test delays from overwhelmed commercial labs hit Washington patients in different ways. Attempts to meet rising demand by LabCorp and Quest Diagnostics, two major commercial reference labs, have caused massive backlogs of test results, meaning waits of several days or more that are now being felt in Washington. Test results that take more than a week can destroy the chance to break the chain of COVID-19 transmission, said Dr. Matt LaGalbo, medical director for Country Doctor Community Health Centers, which serves people with low incomes and homeless people in Seattle. Madison Smallstig in the Oregonian. Riot Ribs supplies seized by police during shutdown of Lounsdale and Chapman Squares, group member says. Portland police said 9 people were arrested and booked into jail. Some of the people staying in the area were part of Riot Ribs, a group that has been providing food to homeless people and those participating in the protests, said Beans, a member of Riot Ribs. Yes, Beans and Ribs. Beans declined to give her last name for fear of being targeted on social media. Beans said Riot Ribs provides food 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to those that need it and support the Black Lives Matter movement. The group started feeding people on July 4th, when a man began barbecuing and handing out food on a street corner downtown. Nanaimo News Now. Night Owls to take flight as Nanaimo's new West Coast League baseball team. The Night Owl pays tribute to First Nations tradition, explained GM Jim Swanson. The West Coast League team colors are navy blue, gold, and white, while the team will don yellow unis and be known as the Nanaimo Bars during day games, home and away. Swanson said including the iconic Nanaimo Bar in their organization offers a fun secondary name and branding common in minor league baseball. Save-On Foods will provide a tray of the no-bake treats to offer to fans at opposing stadiums. The team will launch in 2021 as a rival to the Victoria Harbor Cats in the Summer League for college players. And these headlines this week in the Breaker.News. BC was poorly prepared for the pandemic after NDP government let regional stockpiles shrink, with CTV News Vancouver's John Woodward. Disgraced UBC booster Sadu going to jail after cheating so that his sons could avoid UBC. And Surrey mayor found at Chancellor's Naturopathic Clinic again. Read the stories behind the headlines. Go to thebreaker.news. This is the Big Deal feature on the Breaker.News podcast. July 13th, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's pandemic prose to the press by the porch. The Trudeau Liberals outsourced a $912 million program to the WE charity on a sole-source contract for a summertime student jobs program. The contract was cancelled over an apparent conflict of interest. Canada Land had reported that the first mother, Margaret Trudeau, and brother, Sasha, had been paid $350,000 over 4 years for speaking at dozens of WE events.
We made sure that we got help to Canadians. When it came to this organization and this program, the involvement that I'd had in the past and that my family has should have had me remove myself from those discussions. And I'm sorry that I didn't. I'm particularly sorry because not only has it created unnecessary controversy and issues, it also means that young people who are facing a difficult time right now, getting summer jobs, contributing to their communities, are going to have to wait a little longer.
The WE charity was founded as Free the Children by Craig and Mark Kilberger in 1995. As schoolboys, they became active against child labor. Its flagship is the series of We Day motivational concerts with celebrities, politicians, and pop stars. In 2018, the charity raised more than $42 million. We also has a for-profit arm called Me for We, but evidence is mounting that the two have mixed accounts.
We're two brothers, and we've been pretty passionate around changing the world for a very long time. And we're here today to talk to you about We.
Not we as in the two of us, but we, the movement.
You see, there are a lot of big problems in our world, especially if you're just one person. I know that feeling. When I was just 12 years old, I wanted to help fight child labor. But I was 12, I felt pretty powerless. I wasn't even sure what to do. So I got my older brother to join, and you know what? Doubled our efforts.
We, as in Craig and I, then got more friends to join, and that doubled, and then doubled again, and then doubled again, and that's the great thing about math. Our numbers kept doubling, and doubling, and doubling, and suddenly, we were this massive army for good, and no longer one person acting alone.
Here are Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and Sophie Gregoire Trudeau at We Day in Ottawa during the first week of the Trudeau government in November of 2015.
What an honor for us it is to be here on a We Day stage again with my hubby. Better is always possible. My husband and your 23rd Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau.
Thank you. Merci, Sophie. Thank you, We Day, for this warm welcome. You know, this is my fourth We Day.
This is the First Mother, Margaret Trudeau, during We Charity's part of the Canada 150 celebrations on Parliament Hill, July 2nd, 2017.
I'm so grateful to Mark and Craig, of course, who brought us We. I'm so happy you're all here with your families.
At a July 16th House of Commons committee meeting, Conservative MP Pierre Poilievre pressed Youth Minister Bardish Chagger for answers.
Did you discuss this matter with any member of the Prime Minister's office prior to bringing it to Cabinet?
Madam Minister.
So I was given a recommendation by the public service. I accepted the recommendation. I asked many questions. Many questions have been posed. And I accepted the recommendation and I brought it forward to Cabinet.
Poilievre also sought answers from Assistant Deputy Minister Rachel Wernick about how the deal with We came to be.
My recollection is that We Charity was one of the options that came up in discussions, given their experience as the largest youth-serving organization in Canada. I called We Charity on April 19th to seek some input on the program concept. Then, as I mentioned in my statement, I learned the details of what the government wanted for a Canada Student Service Grant through the Prime Minister's announcement. Following that announcement, I received by email a proposal from We Charity.
Rachel Wernick's last name might ring a bell. Her brother, Michael Wernick, was the clerk of the Privy Council when Trudeau was embroiled in the SNC-Lavalin scandal. This is NDP member Charlie Angus.
So if there was a proposal that the Prime Minister loved and then laid out the basic parameters, so when you call 3 days later, Kirk Hilberger's already, he's got the ideas, he's set to go. Is it possible that because they had already circulated this, that the Prime Minister set it up and then so you dutifully followed through?
Mr. Chair, I cannot speculate, but I can tell you that in the context that I was in mid-April, in a crisis situation, I gave some options and assessments to inform the announcement by the Prime Minister on April 22nd, based on my expertise and experience with various organizations, and based on an understanding that there was a desire to launch this initiative within 3 weeks, because it was a summer initiative that students needed to start taking advantage of as quickly as possible.
So the question was raised again about the Trudeau family links. And I asked Minister Chagger if this was raised. It would have seemed to me something that would have been red flagged because of the close connection between the Trudeau family, the fact that his mother and brother and wife were closely involved. Did you raise the Trudeau family connection as a red flag?
Mr. Chair, I don't have any direct knowledge of that. And as I mentioned, the department does not provide assessment of potential conflicts of interest by public office holders. The onus is on those office holders to uphold the guidelines.
Oh, I understand that. I guess that my question was, you know, when you're making a proposal, you're going to have the plus and minuses. And this, you know, this blew up in the government's face.
Rick Hansen, the wheelchair athlete who toured the world in the mid-1980s, is one of the more frequent speakers at WE Day events. Here is a clip of him in 2012.
Can we change the world? Absolutely. Never give up on your dreams. Together, anything is possible. Keep on going. WE Day. Awesome. Thanks a lot, you guys. Thank you.
The WE charity co-produced a documentary about Hansen, narrated by Craig Kielburger himself, called Shameless Idealists.
Rick Hansen is my childhood hero. He's tackled every challenge with perseverance and quiet humility. In 1985, Rick wheeled over 40,000 kilometers to 34 countries with a dream of creating an accessible and inclusive world for all those with disabilities.
The Breaker.News wanted to know how much WE Charity has paid Rick Hansen for his WE Day speaking engagements. Monica McCluskey, spokeswoman for the Rick Hansen Foundation, said by email that Hansen did not receive payment except for reimbursement of travel expenses. McCluskey denied there was a financial component to the 2017 partnership between the Rick Hansen Foundation and the WE Charity, other than reimbursement of travel expenses. McCluskey declined to disclose the dollar figure of those expenses. The Breaker.News asked if Rick Hansen was available for an interview, but McCluskey said that he was not. Hansen normally charges between $30,000 and $50,000 for each speaking engagement. The WE Charity has not responded to the Breaker.News. I reached out to Duff Conacher, co-founder of Democracy Watch. I asked him why this scandal matters, why Canadians must pay attention.
They did stop it, and that was a good thing. And the Prime Minister apologized, and that was also a good thing, because in previous scandal situations that Prime Minister Trudeau has been caught in, he's refused to apologize for both. But the apology doesn't resolve the problems here, and the problems involve violations of key spending rules that protect the public's money and key ethics rules that ensure that politicians are making decisions in the public interest as opposed to helping their family or their friends or organizations that they like or party supporters. And so, you know, if you want to excuse this just because you like WE Charity and the work that they do or what the program was intended to do, you have to remember, if you're going to excuse this kind of example, you have to excuse other examples of violations of ethics and spending rules, because this sets a precedent. And if this is okay, then other things that are okay, where the spending may be going places you don't like, or the people that it's going to, you may not appreciate or support. So everyone should be concerned whenever there's a violation of these key spending and ethics rules, because they're the rules that ensure that we have a democracy, that we have good government, that our money isn't wasted.
WE Charity has been part of the brand building for Trudeau and the Liberal Party. The events have all the hallmarks of a campaign strategy to reach youths and their parents. Conacher breaks down the details of the scandal and what Democracy Watch is doing to demand accountability.
There is this pattern of WE Charity promoting Trudeau, Justin Trudeau, and also his wife, Sophie Gregoire Trudeau, who is formerly an ambassador, a champion, and also does a podcast for WE Charity. And a pattern of the Trudeaus promoting WE Charity and WE Charity promoting the Trudeaus, including having Justin's mother speak at events and also his brother. So a lot of interactions between the two. And that is really the basis of the suspicion that's behind the complaint that the Conservatives have filed with the RCMP. The Conservatives are asking the RCMP to look at whether WE Charity paid Justin Trudeau's mother and brother to speak at events in order to have some influence in terms of obtaining contracts after the Liberals came to power. And if you look, actually, National Post reporter Christopher Nardi looked at this, and the amounts that the WE Charity has received in grants and contracts since the Liberals were elected is 10 times higher than the amount that they received in the 5 years before the Liberals were elected. So that's quite an increase, a 10 times increase. But there is no evidence of any communications that have been revealed. And this is what you need to prove what the Conservatives are asking the RCMP to investigate, which is essentially they're asking them to investigate a bribery charge. They would have to find some communications where We Charity was saying to Trudeau, hey, we'll have your mom come and speak and your brother and we'll pay them. And when you guys are looking at handing out grants and contracts in our area, you'll send them our way. And without that kind of evidence, there is a pattern there of them supporting each other, but that does not amount to a bribe. And that's what really needs to be shown. And it's really difficult to show that, obviously. You'd have to have an inside whistleblower showing those kind of communications. What Democracy Watch has called for is a different investigation, and that is whether Trudeau violated the breach of trust section of the criminal code, section 122. And that's a lot easier to prove. In fact, four of the elements of the five different factors you need to prove breach of trust are already confirmed. Trudeau's an official. He was exercising an official function by approving the contract. That violates the ethics standards in a serious way. Those are the four factors. The fifth one is, did he do it for a dishonest or corrupt purpose? And that's what we've asked the RCMP to investigate. And there's some evidence he did, because when he was caught, his first excuse that We Charity was the only organization that could do this contract has been proven to be false. Several experts have shown that other charities have just as much capacity, and the public service even considered some of them. So that's a dishonest answer when he's caught on handing out this charity. And it may turn out also to be dishonest that the public service recommended the sole source contract to We Charity alone, on its own, without any influence from the Prime Minister or anyone acting on his behalf. It sounds like the idea came from Finance Canada. And Bill Morneau, the Finance Minister, is also in a conflict of interest in this situation, because he has one daughter working for the charity and another that has worked for the charity, spoken at its events, and worked as a volunteer in the past for the charity. So he has a family connection as well. And from the testimony we have, the idea came from Finance Canada to the public service. Well, Bill Morneau is finance minister. I'd say even if he's acting on his own, it's a problem for him in terms of possibly trying to rig a contract in favor of one of his daughter's favorite charities. And if he was doing it at the direction of the PMO, it's a problem for both of them. Essentially, rigging a contract in favor of the Prime Minister's wife's favorite charity and the Finance Minister's daughter's, one of her favorite charities. That's a very serious violation. So we'll see. Those are the big questions that need to be investigated by both the Ethics Commissioner and the RCMP.
Duff Conacher, co-founder of Democracy Watch.
Virtual Nanaimo Bar, brought to you by Spruce Hill Contracting.
Every week we end the Breaker.News podcast on a tasty note by awarding the goodness of a virtual Nanaimo Bar to a person or group that is making a difference. A virtual version of the province's favorite dessert bar goes this week to Jim Swanson and the Nanaimo Night Owls. West Coast League Baseball comes to Nanaimo in 2021. But during day games, the Night Owls will be known as the Nanaimo Bars. Yes, that's the other nickname of the team, and it's got a fancy jersey. Tasty-looking jersey, actually. Go, Nanaimo Bars. Nominate someone for a virtual Nanaimo Bar. Send me an email to bob@thebreaker.news. Spruce Hill Contracting, custom homes and renovations. Find more information at sprucehill.ca. That's it for the Breaker.News podcast for the week of July 19th, 2020. I'm Bob Mackin. Thanks for joining me. Did you know that on July 19th in 1980, the Summer Olympics opened in Moscow? 66 countries boycotted to protest the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Philadelphia hosted the Liberty Bell Classic track and field meet that featured athletes from more than two dozen boycotting countries. Now you know. Send me your feedback, send me your story ideas to bob@thebreaker.news. Bookmark thebreaker.news. You can also find us at thebreaker.ca. Sign up for the email newsletter and get updates to your inbox. For news as it happens, follow The Breaker News on Twitter and visit TheBreaker.news on Facebook. You can support The Breaker for as little as $2 a month. For more information, go to patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. That's patreon.com/TheBreakerNews. Until next week.